It feels like it's been a while. I don't remember the last time I taught slash preached in this church. Let me get my stuff prepared here. But I'm glad to be here this morning. And as you can tell, we're filling a couple different roles today in worship and whatnot. I hope you guys can just put up with us. It makes it easier that my wife is so pretty. I would say that seeing me is making it easier, but I know that that's not the truth. It's been a good morning. Dr. Rick gave a great word and something edifying to us all. And he spoke a lot about just the light, God being the light. And he mentioned Romans chapter 12, speaking about the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So I appreciated that word this morning. You guys know that we've taken on a little bit more of a role here at this church, being the youth pastor. And I'm actually looking for my youth right now, see if they're in here. I told them they're supposed to be down here. Oh, I see you, brother. So the other ones now are probably hiding upstairs. I see a light on up there, so someone may need to go check on them, but it's not going to be me. But it's been good so far. It's been a couple months of it. Administrative type of things, ministering into the youth. It's been great. I look at the generation of young people growing up right now, and I have to look back and think what, when I was that age, would have really set me off in the right direction. I don't know if I feel like I was a good boy. You could ask my parents, and they may tell you something different, but I feel like I was a pretty good kid, and a lot of that was to do with the desire for God, the desire for the presence of God, and knowing that God was real, knowing that God wanted a relationship with me. So I'm trying to instill that in them, to know that the Lord is a personal God. The Lord wants an individual relationship with them, and He desires something out of them as well. And that, salvation, praise God, is by grace through faith. And we have that opportunity, but growth in the Lord, that can come in a moment's time, in an absolute moment's time, just like the thief on the cross. Boom, today you will be with me in paradise. But maturity as a Christian, that's not something that's born overnight. That's not something that you get the moment that you're saved. Yes, you're a new creation made in Christ, but there's still a life of learning and discerning and wrestling with God and getting in the Scripture and Him telling you something about yourself. And that's what we're going to talk about a little bit today. This Scripture and this Word the Lord has impressed on my heart for a few months now. Never got a chance to preach it, but I'm excited to. It's about the cloud of glory. So if you guys would, in the book of Exodus, we're going to turn to chapter 24. Exodus chapter 24. Brother Paul keeps telling me I'm teaching the pastor's class. And I said, I guess I don't know what the difference between teaching and preaching is, but you guys decide after I do this what exactly it was. Exodus chapter 24, we'll go to verse 1. Then he said to Moses, he being God, go up to the Lord, you and Aaron and Nadab and Abihu and the 70 of the elders, and bow and worship at a distance. Moses alone is to approach the Lord, but the others are not to approach, and the people are not to go up with him. Skip now to the same chapter, Exodus chapter 24, go to verse 12. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain. I love this part. This is what this message is about. Come up to me on the mountain and stay there so that I may give you the stone tablets with the law and the commandments I have written for their instruction. So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua and went up to the mountain of God. He told the elders, wait here for us until we return to you. Aaron and Hur are here with you. Whoever has a dispute should go to them. When Moses went up to the mountain, the cloud covered it. The cloud covered the mountain. The glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it for 6 days. On the seventh day, he called to Moses from the cloud. The appearance of the Lord's glory to the Israelites was like a consuming fire on the mountaintop. Moses entered the cloud as he went up on the mountain, and he remained on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Indy, will you pray for me? That's right, Father.
And any agendas from our hearts,
that's right, Father.
Allow that word, Father, to just to take off, Lord, and
continue, yes, Lord,
growing us in Christ, in the maturity, in the knowledge of Christ, Father, that we may become more like Him.
Yes, Father.
In the name of Jesus, amen.
Amen. Thank you, hon. So Moses on top of the mountain in the cloud of glory. This is what this word is about, the cloud of glory. This chapter is not the first time that Moses has come up to a mountain and seen the presence of God. Luckily enough, Moses, to my knowledge, this was the third time he had went up on a mountain and been inside the presence of God. The first, we know, God showed himself as a burning bush, and he spoke to Moses there, and he gave him somewhat of a blueprint of how to go and allow the Hebrew people, deliver them out of slavery. Another time he came up to the mountain, and it looked a lot like this time. The cloud of glory covered it. It says that it was a thick darkness what Moses was called up into. It says that no one could see it. No one could enter into this place. God only asked Moses at this point in time to come here. And that was when God gave him the tablets for the first time. We all know how that went. And the second time he comes up, and at this point in time, the third time he sees the presence of God, it's a covenant time. And God calls him up here, and unlike the other times that we see in Scripture, God says, Moses, I want you to come up, and what does he say? He says, I want you to stay here. He says, I want you to come up. I don't want to be like the last few times where you came up, and we talked a little bit, and I gave you a plan, and this and that, and then you left and you did it. I want you to come and you linger a while. I want you to come and I want you to have nothing else to do for a while. And you guys read the scripture. I have chills right now. It says that he stayed and the glory of God covered that mountain for 6 days. And then he went up to it for 40 days and 40 nights. This is an aspect of Christianity that as I look into the culture today, as someone that has deserved absolutely nothing, but God saw it okay for me to come into the mission field and see works of God, I can see for the people, the men and the women of God that see the Holy Spirit move on a different level, that see victories in the mission field, that see victories in their life. I'm not talking about people that go without trouble. I'm talking about people like what Pastor Rick talked about earlier, like Job, that go through trouble and they can still glorify the Lord. These people right here that I'm speaking about, they dwell in the thick darkness. God calls them up to that place that's scary, that they're not in control, that they don't have any kind of a guarantee that they're even going to make it out. And they say, I desire the presence of God so much that I don't care if I die up on that mountain. When you guys get into the Word, so many times we get in, including myself. Years ago, 12, 13 years ago, we were somewhat heavily a part of a college ministry here that actually got led off to Dave Melhoff, who did an amazing, amazing job with it. But there was a little stage where it was kind of a void. There was just a handful of us college folk that didn't know what in the world they were doing, just to be honest with you. So we would go, but we loved the Lord. So we would go to a couple college campuses, start walking around and just talking to people, attempting to evangelize to them, trying to see God move somehow. And I remember having all these scriptures memorized and all these apologetic points to my faith in theology and you name it, and not seeing much happen. Not seeing much happen. I remember getting in a bunch of arguments and people leaving upset. And I thought, wow, they really felt the Lord off of me that day, buddy. I'm telling you what. And then the Lord started to say, come into this scripture. Come into your time of prayer. And I don't want you to worry about them. I don't want you to worry about spreading this to anybody else right now. I want you to think about you. And God says, I want to bring you into this thick cloud of darkness so I can teach you more about yourself. This is something that the Lord has all throughout Scripture. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 2. All a man's ways seem right in his own eyes. Isn't that the truth? But the Lord weighs the motives. When we go into prayer and we're praying about a decision and we're wondering and we think immediately that we're correct, the Lord says, weigh your motives. What in the world is the outcome of this prayer that you're attempting to pray? Well, are you attempting to glorify me or are you attempting to glorify yourself? Are you attempting to press an agenda of man or are you wanting revival to happen in your own heart? Psalms chapter 139, verse 23, 24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my concerns. See if there is any offensive way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. See if there is an offensive way. See if the things that I'm praying for, the desires of my heart, are even birthed from you, Father. Isaiah chapter 55, 8 and 9. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, and your ways are not my ways, declare the Lord. For as heaven is higher than earth, so my ways are higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. Some of us right now are thinking, that's hard to fathom. It's hard to fathom that the weight of this thing, of this desire in my heart, could possibly not be God. Could possibly not be God. God says different. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, I urge you to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this age, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind so that you may discern what is good, pleasing, and perfect. The word transformed does not sound like, oh, I can make a little adjustment here, I can make a little adjustment there, and I'll be right on track with the Lord. God says you need a complete transformation. You need everything about you to change if you want to come into the cloud of glory, to that place that you are not in control, that you're not guaranteed a thing. I want to change everything about you. This is something that Moses realized. If you guys look in the third chapter of Exodus, when God calls Moses up to his glory, up into his presence, it says that he hid his face from God. He did not want to see the presence of God. It was too much for him. But the third time when he went up there, in Exodus chapter 34, it says, or in chapter 33, he comes to the presence of God and he's speaking to God like he is a friend. He's speaking to God like he is a friend. They're conversing. God is telling him the things of his hearts. God has already showed him through months and years in the desert who Moses was. And as Moses came up completely exposed to the presence of God, he tells God, let me see your face. Let me see your glory. From one chapter, 30 chapters ago, that he had to turn his face to now in the presence of God, sitting there begging, let me see your glory. Let me see your face, Lord God. I know that I'm a ruined man and that you've had to fix me in so many different places, but I like what you've done with me. I love sitting in your presence, that place that everyone else is afraid to go to. I love to sit there. And Moses saw the movements of God. Moses saw the Spirit of God. Moses had indwelled in him the presence of God. For Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you. This is the Lord's declaration. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you and to give you a future and a hope. You will call on me. Listen to this part. This is what it all rides on right here, folks. You will call to me and come and pray to me. There it is. And I will then listen to you. You will seek me and you will find me when? When you seek me with all of your heart. That's all that God wants, you guys. That's it. It's not very much, is it? Because he's only given you everything. He wants every bit of what he gave you back. He says, you will come and seek me and you will pray with me. I don't want you to leave my presence so quickly. I want you to come in and dwell here for 6 days and six nights and then stay here in my presence for 40 days and 40 nights. He says the same thing in the book of Hosea with Gomer. He says, you've been running astray. You came for a little while and then you run back off. I want you to come and stay. I want you to come and learn who you are. I want you to come and learn who I am. I want you to come and sit a while. How many of us do that? This is something that is so important. This is the lack of revival in this country is because a lack of revival in your hearts and in my heart. When we first see the glory of God in our own hearts, and we first see the glory of God in this church, then we will see revival out there. Then we will see revival out there. When we're willing to take all these things that we're balancing in our hand and attempting to fix and trying to see that our own steps are right in our own eyes and say, God, I can do absolutely nothing without you. And you hand it over to him and he's going to say, that's all I ever wanted. That's all I ever wanted was to take that away from you. I have some embarrassing stories to share now. As a missionary, the Lord had called us into missions. And we went. And we got to see the Lord move. And we were in full-time missions for probably 3 or 4 years. And I started, I don't know, this is how my mind works. If I'm called to something, God should bless it. If I have no fruit there, there is an issue there. And it's either I'm wrong that God did not call me into that, or there's something that I'm doing that is prohibiting the Lord. I think that about 1 million churches in the United States, if they thought like that, things would be different. Because they're speaking things week after week after week, Sunday after Sunday, Wednesday after Wednesday, and there's no fruit. So something needs to change. I realized that as a young man in my own heart. And I took it to the Lord in prayer and I said, Lord, we're going to sit here and wrestle like you wrestled Jacob. You can break my hip. You can touch me. You can do whatever you need to. But I will not be involved in something called ministry and the Spirit of God not indwell in what I'm doing. I won't do it. I can go and not see the Spirit of God somewhere else. That's much easier to do. And I sat in a time of prayer, and the Lord did not tell me about the United States of America. He did not tell me about Ukraine. He did not tell me about Russia. Those things are important, but what he said was, Jesse, you need to change before I can use you anywhere else. He took me in a place of just weeping, of prayer, of just understanding the ruin that I was in. And then we started seeing the hand of God move. We started seeing the hand of God move because we understood I have to sit in that cloud because what comes from us is not us. What comes from us had better be the Lord. If I could stand up here and talk about the things that God has done in the mission field, I could do it for hours. Thousands of people coming to know the Lord. Thousands of people crying at the altar. Broken people. Pastors. Hundreds of them at an altar weeping, crying, understanding. Only the presence of God can do that. Only the presence of God can do that. It will be evident. Let me turn to Exodus chapter 34 real quick. Exodus chapter 34, verse 29. As Moses descended from Mount Sinai, with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he descended the mountain, he did not realize that the skin of his face shone. His face was shining. It was evident he had been with the Lord. As a result of speaking with the Lord, when Aaron and all the Israelites saw Moses, the skin of his face shone, they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called out to them, so Aaron and all the leaders of the community returned to him, and Moses spoke to them. This time when Moses went up into the presence of God, went up into the dark cloud, and went up to the thick darkness where God was and settled with him, he came back and it says that his face shone. Have you guys been around anybody like that? Maybe you have even felt that, where you've been like, I have been in the presence of God. Or you know someone and you're like, I don't know what's different about them, but I want to be around them because I feel the presence of God on them. I can promise you they have been to that thick cloud of glory. They have been to that thick cloud of darkness where no one could see them, where there was no glory for themselves, where they realized their own issues and God starts drawing it out of them. And they come down, and what happens often, like it did in this case with Moses, they didn't even want to see Moses. It affected them so bad. They were seeing his light shining and it convicted them to a degree. That happens too. Many times as Christians, you have a calling, you have an anointing, you have a desire, and God's calling you in a direction that's so uncomfortable to the rest of the world. You guys know it. Any of you people that are in any kind of ministry completely know what I'm talking about right now. Sometimes you can be in a meeting or talking to people about a mission trip where amazing things happen, and a Christian is looking at you like you're an alien or something. You're like, man, is this... I feel like we're talking about a different God, I guess. I don't know. But that happens. That's okay. They haven't been pulled into that cloud of glory yet. They haven't decided to go and rest in the presence of God. They haven't decided to go and leave it all out, be exposed in front of the presence of God and let Him change you. But I can promise you one thing. It will absolutely be evident. Turn to the book of Acts, chapter 4. You don't have to. I got it right here. Never mind. Acts chapter 4. Verse 13. When they observed the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and knew that they had been with Jesus. And since they saw the man who had been healed standing with them, they had nothing to say in response. What could they say? What could they say when you see the presence of God so strong in somebody that's not even supposed to be able to read, and then someone that's been sick for years upon years upon years come up to them and they're healed in a moment? What can they say? What can they say? This is what this world is lacking right here. Men and women of God that are anointed by the hand of God because they sit in the presence of God. After they had ordered them to leave the Sanhedrin, they conferred among themselves. They're on the ride home and they're like, what happened, guys? We've never seen someone come in here and actually do that. We are the Pharisees. We see the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the people coming in and out of the temple, talking about healings, talking about the Messiah. But we've never actually seen someone come in and get healed. Wow, I'd have liked to have been on that car ride. Say, what should we do with these men? What are we going to do with these guys? These guys are going to wreck our plans. What can we do with them? They're going to turn the world upside down. For an obvious sign, evident to all the lives in Jerusalem, had been done through them that cannot be denied. What in the world has the bride of Christ done nowadays that cannot be denied? There are things that they are doing, but man, have we got some better things to do. Man, can we look deeper into the cloud of glory and see greater things happen in the bride of Christ? Can we not? There's a missionary friend of mine. I have many missionary friends that are brothers in Christ and that have ministered into me and taught me how to pray, taught me how to seek God, taught me how to sit in the presence of God for hours upon hours. And this man is one of them. About 12 years ago, his first mission trip, he had been seeking God. His first mission trip was to Cameroon. And he went there and they preached. He was so undecisive it was a big decision. He went full-time missions and didn't go like we did. Didn't go in front of a board, didn't know that you needed to have the okay from somebody. He was like, God told me to do this, I'm going to go. I'm not going to raise money. I'm just going to head that way and start preaching the gospel. He's preaching in Cameroon to thousands of people. And then revival breaks out, and people are getting saved, and people are serving the Lord. And then they have to leave, and then someone else comes up, because people are not done with the presence of God yet. And they come for a few months later, and then that person is all run out, and someone says, you know what, I have a couple words that I can give. So they do that over and over and over and over, and for 15 months, they preached inside that church every single night. And people came to know the Lord. That is revival. That's the cloud of glory. That's the place that God's calling you to. And you staying away from it is keeping you from the presence of God. You staying away from it is keeping you from the plans that God has for you, like it says in Jeremiah 29. He says, I know the plans that I have for you, and they're good, but you're not going to get them until you come here and pray and you give me every bit of you. 15 months, guys, a year and a half almost, of the presence of God dwelling in that place. 6 different churches were born from that revival. 15 different ministries were born from that revival. And every single one of them are alive and well today. Every single one of them are proclaiming the good news. Every single one of them. There's been times that we were in Africa. I was in Africa and Kenya maybe 3-4 years ago. And we were preaching, this brother and I, and he was preaching the word powerfully. And there was maybe 2,000 people there. And one individual that was demon-possessed starts coming up, screaming everything you could think of at his face, and just completely disrupted the whole thing. He turns around and runs off. We didn't hear anything from that. Is a more common occurrence than it should be. Like that, imagine that happening here. You know what I mean? It'd be a little bit rough. It happens. It happens out there. And I get an email about a year later that tells us a story about that man. After that man that was demon-possessed comes and screams at us for just a few minutes, he turns around and runs off. He went off to a highway and somehow just fell down in a ditch and ended up in a coma. And he was in a coma for a month or two. And he wakes up and the pastors found out about it. They go and start praying for this man while he's in a coma. He's not awake. He has no idea what's happening. And he wakes up, and I hope this story may not be verbatim, but it's really close. He wakes up, and a pastor is there, and he tells them, that place that I just left cussing, whatever I was in this coma, he said, that white man that stood up there preaching to us, he brought me to another man named Jesus. And he woke up from a coma and knew the Lord. He woke up from a coma and knew the presence of God. That's the cloud of glory. You can't fake that. What are we going to do? How can we explain that? That's the cloud of glory. That's the presence of God. That's that place that you're scared to go, that God is calling you, that He desires you to go, that He's begging you to come to. Sometimes He takes you there and you don't want to go. Sometimes He takes you there and you don't want to go or plan to go. But He is there. Go and dwell there. Go and sit there. Don't be so scared of it. Don't be afraid of what God is fixing to do in your life. Don't be afraid of the calling that He has on you. Don't be afraid of the things, the little doors and the places inside of your heart that God wants to show you, to change you, so you can be used one day. This is not the last time that a cloud of darkness ever fell upon the earth. This is not the last time that a cloud of darkness fell upon the earth and it scared everybody. For the day that Jesus died, there were 3 hours that it says darkness covered the face of the earth. And in that moment that his body was no more, and they pierced his heart, and he died, and Jesus is no more, as it looked to the disciples and all of his followers like the worst day in history, at that very moment, the veil that kept us from the presence of God was torn, and God on the other side of that veil, like saying, not only will the high priest come to me, not only will the men working inside of the temple come to me, not only will the men inside the courtyard or the women on the further courtyard or the Gentiles be able to come to me, every one of you can come to me. Every one of you can come inside of my presence. Go to that dark place. Go to that dark place that is God's glory, desiring you and calling you to come and sit. It is great there. It is a great place to be. God desires every single one of you to be there. And you guys say that earlier verse that I read, it said that he called Moses up, but the rest of them stayed. Well, think, they weren't ready yet. They had just got through when Moses went up to the mountain the first time. They had had their whole shenanigans while Moses went up there. Their hearts were not prepared yet. Many people's hearts are not prepared yet, but there will absolutely be a day in every single believer that God says, come up to this mountain and linger a while. Come up to this place that's dark and cold and you're afraid to come, and the secrets of your heart will be revealed, because I'm going to do a work in you that will be seen. They will see your face. They will see the Spirit of God on you. It will happen.